1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Ukraine's President Zelensky telling ABC News in an exclusive interview that the delay in U.S. aid has had a direct impact on the war along Ukraine's northeastern border. And Zelensky pointing out that the money for military aid goes mostly back into the U.S. economy.
All this money, they goes to the factories in the United States, mostly. Some of them in Europe, but mostly in the United States, I think about 80%. And then these factories gives jobs to Americans.
Russia's offensive near Kharkiv is forcing Ukrainian troops to retreat. The U.S. military has completed construction of a massive offshore pier to stage humanitarian aid for Gaza. It's expected to be operational soon. Here at home, President Biden and former President Trump have agreed to two debates. The first next month, there will be no live audience. Mr. Trump back in court today for his New York criminal trial as a cross-examination of his former fixer continues. This is ABC News. A new name could be called as country music honors its best tonight. ABC's Jason Nathanson has the story.
Jelly Roll, up for the big one at tonight's Academy of Country Music Awards. It's his first year being nominated, and he scored four, including a coveted Entertainer of the Year nod. Ahead of the show, he talked to us about what a win would mean to him.
It would mean a lot. You know, it's hard to deny. But it's also a category packed with people that deserve it. I think if you took my name out of it, you could play Spin the Bottle, and you wouldn't be wrong.
In the Entertainer of the Year category, he's up against Luke Combs, Morgan Wallen, Lainey Wilson, Kane Brown, Chris Stapleton, and Cody Johnson. The ACMs air tonight on Prime Video. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
And still on the run, the guy they call the Fly. In France, police have been hunting for the last 2 days for 30-year-old Mohamed Amra after armed attackers opened fire on a van that was transporting him north of Paris. Two prison officers were killed, three are hurt. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A farmer from just outside of Madison found something unusual while picking rocks from his field in preparation for spring planting. A meteorite. Yes, Jim Koch found a 110-pound meteorite. UW scientists confirm it is indeed a meteorite made of iron and nickel, and it may have been created in the solar system more than 4 billion, with a B, 4 billion years ago. This is the only meteorite ever discovered in Dane County, though 13 others have been found in other parts of the state. This particular one is now on display at the UW Geology Museum on West Dayton Street in Madison. Until next time. I'm Terry Barr.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There'll be two special elections in Wisconsin this year to fill vacant seats. One of them will be for state senate in Milwaukee in July. The other will be for U.S. House in northeast Wisconsin in November. The winners will replace Lena Taylor and Mike Gallagher. Governor Evers announced the dates this week. Wisconsin is waiting to see how the state Supreme Court rules on allowing absentee ballot drop boxes this year. Janelle Ludwig Kraus is a voting advocate in western Wisconsin. She says all kinds of voters vote absentee.
Farmers who need to be on their field when the conditions are dry, it makes it possible for parents that are juggling a million things to cast a ballot, for people with disabilities, for elderly people.
Opponents say it's too easy to use drop boxes to commit voter fraud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers going prime time again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL releasing the regular season schedules, and Green Bay will have five games in prime time. First, the season opener in Brazil against the Eagles, then four night games in a row against the Dolphins, Lions, Seahawks, and Saints. From Thanksgiving to the Monday before Christmas, baseball, the Brewers just kept hitting home runs yesterday on the way to a 10-2 win over the Pirates in Milwaukee. Contreras, Sanchez, Ortiz, and Sam Frelick, all with home runs. Frelick then talked about watching rookie Jackson Churio hit one 441 feet out of the park.
Yeah, it was great. I think that's the closest I'll ever be to like hitting one myself, is, you know, seeing that and feeling like I was in the box. So it was cool to kind of see that view and see how far a ball went.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy says Churio is getting a great opportunity in Milwaukee.
If maybe he's with the Dodgers, you know, maybe he's not playing in the big leagues yet. You know what I mean? Maybe they wait a year or whatever, but he's lucky he's with this group.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms by late morning through early to mid-afternoon. Our high today, 73. The wind south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 53. Tomorrow, sunshine, 80. By Saturday, sunshine with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 52.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things sports balls with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you.
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live.
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Jay, that's the way it is.
They did warn.
Yes, they did.
About us.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
It is.
That's us.
WMDX.
Him and me.
And we're looking out on the street here, State Street. And,
right.
You know, it's, sadly, we keep you updated constantly in the show, and we apologize for that.
Well,
no one cares.
No, but
they have a leaf blower and they have a street sweeper and a sidewalk sweeper, and they've got the garbage guys going through constantly.
Well, you know, if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube or you know, wherever else,
if you can,
X.
If you're watching, you can see that they're starting to dig up our sidewalk right down the street.
And why?
100 yards away from us.
Suddenly, they're just ripping up the sidewalk right in the middle of that block.
Another amazing bus stop. Let's put another one
in. Oh, is that what it is,
maybe? I have no idea, but I'm not happy about this. And I know the guy, the leaf blower, where's he going to go now?
I don't know.
What's he going to do?
They've got a big crew out there.
Did they lay him off?
They've got the crew out there. Everybody's standing around watching
John,
the guy.
John, you've lived in Madison for more than 40 years. You should know at this point, construction constantly is the name of the game.
It never ends.
That's true.
But never ends.
Of course, you know, it creates employment.
Yes.
High-paying jobs, and we can't complain about that, but they're out here ruining our view, in other words.
Maybe they're digging a hole for another tree. Looks like that could be a tree, another place for a tree right there. No?
It looks like they have enough trees already.
Okay. Yeah.
I could be wrong.
They got to do what they got to do.
Okay. All right. Well, we know that it didn't take long for Biden to get an agreement with Trump on some debating days.
There are
2 days. The most recent one will be in June.
Right.
This is just so good.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a live audience.
Good.
And the mic is going to be off. The person who isn't ask the question.
Right.
That
Shut
is
off
going
the
to
mic.
That it is just going to change the complexion of the entire debate.
So it'll just be the two of them in a studio along with an anchor person or two
asking the questions. And when that question is asked of one candidate, the other candidate cannot interrupt and interfere with the answer.
Good.
Which is something that Trump, I'm sure, was planning on. He thought that was his big strength.
Well,
and that's done. And they agreed to it.
Good. And so there are two debates agreed to.
Two debates.
Yeah.
Yep. I think one in September as well.
Okay.
But anyway, I just thought I'd mention it because I thought these two these two stipulations were really, really important. I don't know, you know, the people that normally put on these debates, I don't know whether they would have agreed to that or not. That's why Biden went around the normal way of doing this and just, you know, agreed with the Trump team.
I think it's especially good that they don't have a live audience because the cheering just gets out of hand right away.
It is.
And it's
ridiculous.
You know, it just takes the debate in a whole different direction. So good that they're not having a live audience. And that's the way it should
be. It's going to be fair this time, and we'll get the answers very clearly from each candidate.
Yeah, and I like that they're going to turn off the mic of the person that's not supposed to be talking anyway.
And they're very strict about the time limits.
What about stalking? Can they roam around off of the lectern like Trump did that one time with Hillary, just walking in back of her and kind of hovering
I think that had more to do with her being a female.
You think so?
Yeah. Male intimidation. Yeah. White male intimidation again.
It was just bizarre.
All right. Well, let's talk about Eric Hovde, stand-up comedian running for the Senate against Tammy Baldwin. And he just can't seem to do anything right. And it's almost laughable. That's why I call him a stand-up comedian. But he's working on his act, his routine.
Has he made a new homemade commercial?
I don't know.
But, the one where he's holding the baby is just totally uncomfortable to me.
He was interviewed, and it was just a disaster again. You know, Business 101 basically says invest in your business, and it will grow. Hmm. And that's kind of what you can say about the government as well. Spend some tax dollars, the economy will grow, you're investing in American jobs. It's great stuff, and everybody's life becomes easier and a lot less expensive. Well, the infrastructure bill became law in November of 2021, and after all the spending on COVID, COVID was a separate spending deal.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the infrastructure bills and on. So he didn't get that message. He thinks that all the spending during COVID is all the spending that took place by the Democrats and all their, you know, infrastructure bills and so on and so forth, you know, creating jobs, investing in the country and improving our lives. And he thinks it's all the same thing. I don't want to play this cut. You'll get that when you listen to what he has to say here. He doesn't know the facts. It's just all ramblings, clueless ramblings. Let's check out Hovde.
So let's walk through some steps that we need to take to restore our economy. First of all, during the COVID lockdown, government spending spiked up by 40%. Now, you would have thought they would use common sense. And once we came out of the lockdown, then government spending would have dropped by 40% back.
And it did. It dropped. Okay. It dropped.
All right.
They stopped it. The programs ran out. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that spending stopped. Let's continue.
40% back to pre-pandemic levels. But no, that's not what happened. Kept spending like we were in a total lockdown, which is insanity
bills.
Because our population didn't grow by 40%, but somehow government spending grew by 40%.
You don't get
it. So we first have to immediately drop back down government spending to where it was pre-pandemic
level. Why?
Then because we've racked up so much incredible amounts of debt, we have to figure out a glide path to continue to reduce that spending.
All right. Well, let's talk about that debt.
You know, all right. Glide path.
Over $7 trillion that Trump added to the debt.
Yeah.
I don't remember him coming out saying anything about that or in this diatribe that he has, this clueless rambling. He hasn't mentioned the Trump tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So that added a lot, right? You know, I didn't really spend anything on infrastructure. Yeah. We ended up spending money on the wall, which was so important to the rest of the country. How did that affect your grocery bill, folks?
Mm.
Okay, let's continue. He continues here.
Then we have to take pro-growth policies.
Yeah.
Deregulation is a big one.
Okay.
So
Wait.
Deregulation isn't a growth policy. Spending money, taxpayer dollars, that's why we spend our money on like infrastructure and maybe making the economy better or spending it on healthcare or lowering the cost of Medicare drugs. All of that. So if we just use our tax dollars, that's why we that's where we pay taxes, is to put it back into the system and help everybody grow, not just the wealthy, who have already made their success. They've already benefited from society that we all have pitched in to create. Yeah. They want to just take all the money themselves. Anyway, deregulation isn't a growth policy. Reinvesting in the economy is a growth policy.
We have to do what Ronald Reagan did when he came in 1981 and started a big deregulation program.
Yeah. That's Ronald Reagan. It's just brilliant.
Okay. And that's deregulation.
That was the trickle down. It was the start of trickle down.
I remember trickle down.
Yes.
Yeah. It didn't work.
No. Voodoo economics.
Voodoo. That's what George W. called it.
Yes.
Yeah, or was it H.W.?
No, H.W.
Yeah, okay.
Called it that.
His nice eventual going. Vice president, called it voodoo economics.
And it described it perfectly.
It was,
I mean, they took tax rates all the way down. They were paying high tax rates, and Reagan didn't like that.
Right.
And then the businesses, corporations, got these huge tax cuts. Yeah. They didn't have to pay these huge taxes all the time. I think it was 80 or 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Came way down. They didn't have to reinvest the money to deduct it from their taxes.
Yeah.
They didn't have to reinvest it. So they just took the profits. And that's when companies started,
the corporations kind of took over.
Yeah. They took over.
Yep. That's it.
So
that's what Hovde wants
wants to go back to that.
Yeah.
It's a failed policy. It didn't work.
Exactly.
And now we're finally getting back to things. COVID kind of shook everything up because everybody started reevaluating their lives and the job that they had and the lack of benefits and the lack of getting raises. And they said no more. And Hovde wants to get rid of all that. He doesn't like change. You know? He wants to go back to the Reagan era. It just an amazing, startling revelation. And by the way, listening to him talk, do you really think that this guy has a handle on anything at all?
No. I'm not sure that makes a difference, but
he doesn't sound like he was really very knowledgeable.
The throwback to Reagan is just, if we can't
and
go
he owns
back
a bank. This guy, runs a bank.
Yeah. He owns it.
CEO. You got to think he doesn't really have a good grasp of what's going on in the country or investments.
Mm.
But anyway, that's the latest on Eric Hovde, and I hope that everybody feels a little disappointed and just please, okay?
Yes.
Let's wrap up this thing on the protests on campus. Remember,
the
protest supporting Palestinians was a peaceful protest in Madison and in Milwaukee. Now, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee campus here. Policy did allow for the encampment to continue that eventually ended with a negotiated deal, which is a fantastic end to that process. And most of it was just taking a strong position for peace and a ceasefire, plus divestment. No one was hurt, but some felt unsafe. This is the part that gets me under my craw.
All right.
There were people that said, I felt unsafe on campus. Oh, I was offended by all the protests.
Who was saying that?
Oh, no, not that. Well, I want to hear, play cut 87 for us.
We don't have time, John.
Oh, no.
What?
Unfortunately.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Really?
All right. Well, anyway, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, Hillel Milwaukee, and ADL Midwest blasted UWM Chancellor Mark Mohn's agreement, saying it's among the most offensive and dangerous of any university agreement reached. Really? Really?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. UW President Jay Rothman, who had no problem getting rid of DEI, actually believed them and said, I am disappointed by the course taken by the UW Milwaukee, and I am continuing to assess the decision-making process that led to this result. Apparently, protesting at state colleges isn't covered by the First Amendment anymore.
Okay.
Not by these elites.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival coming up on May 18th. We'll be talking with Max Blaska. Coming up next.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute, talking about our favorite government program, Social Security. Social Security is America's retirement plan, and you know how it works. A small piece of every paycheck goes into a huge national savings account. And then when we retire, that fund pays nearly everybody a monthly check, and it helps replace the income that we're no longer earning. The amount you get each month depends on how old you are when you retire and how much you made in your highest paid years. In 2023, about two-thirds of retired Americans relied on Social Security, which is why any politician who even suggests that Social Security should be cut better have a darn good retirement plan of their own. If you agree, join me and the 6 million members at Work Money. That's the not-for-profit I run. We tell companies and political leaders that they better do right by everyday folks. You can find us at workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Here in about 10 seconds or so.
Okay.
Radio, WMDX 92.7 FM and 1580 AM in Madison, broadcasting live from the top of our big headquartered building here on State Street, looking down on a little sidewalk construction.
That's what's happening, yeah. It's a cloudy morning, 53 degrees, highs in the low 70s today, maybe a few showers along the way. You know, a week ago, we had the Madison Night Market. Last Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it was right across the street here. We had our booth.
Huge success.
And, well, we had a lot of people stopping by, mm-hmm. and, you know, we were giving away some T-shirts and handing out some materials
Took
about civic media.
With a lot of the people who listened to the show.
Yeah, it was great. And it was really a fun time. And one of the people that we met was Max Blaska. Mm-hmm. He stopped by, and we were talking about something that he is involved with here called the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival, and we have him on the phone right now. Good morning, Max. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. You betcha. So this Mental Health Warrior Film Festival is coming up May 18th at Easttown Mall. Give us an overview of what people can expect to see at the festival.
Well, it is a film festival that celebrates films about mental health and mental resilience. We have about 20 films. It starts at 1 o'clock. We're seating at 12:30 at Flix Blue House. The shortest film is a 3-minute music video. The longest short is about 30 minutes. And we're ending with a feature, Fang, a horror film.
A horror film at the end, huh?
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
So this is a fundraiser, right?
Yes. Yes. All funds raised, all ticket sales go to Camp Creatability, a local nonprofit that helps kids and young adults on the autism spectrum make films, mm-hmm. and Rogers Behavioral Health Foundation that helps people who might not be able to afford getting to the life-changing treatment that they do for OCD and eating disorders.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So tell me, how did you become involved with putting this festival on?
Did that have anything to do with Stephen King's Dollar Baby program?
Yes, actually. In 2023, last year, filmed a film that I co-wrote, Led wrote called Last Rung on the Ladder, which was one of the last Stephen King dollar babies made. He gives you the rights to adapt one of his short stories for a dollar. And King has very graciously allowed me to screen my film there at the festival on mm-hmm. Saturday. And for someone who used to have like crippling social anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm amazed that I'm putting this on. I'm still nervous as heck about Saturday, but I think we're going to have a good show.
Yes. Well, I hope so.
Yeah. So it's May 18th this Saturday, and do people make donations to come to the film festival, or do you have ticket prices? Can you?
We have ticket prices.
Okay.
Selling on Eventbrite for $15. Okay. We are selling tickets on the door unless we sell out before then. And there will be representatives from Camp Creatability, Rogers Behavioral Health, where people can make more larger donations if they would like. We're also having resources from NAMI, NAMI Dane County, the Wisconsin Chapter of Suicide Prevention, a representative from Super Better, which is a self-help therapy where you fight your demons and problems gamefully. So it's going to be a mental health event.
And it starts at 1 o'clock this Saturday and goes till how late?
About 9 o'clock. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. But we have intermissions throughout the day so people can walk around, get some resources from the lounge, or just take a break.
Yep, that's at the Flicks Brew House in Easttown. I still have to make it out there. I'd love to see that place. Now, I kind of want to get a feel for the films here.
Right.
These are all short films, and you said one is a horror film. And is that yours? Is that the Stephen King?
No. Mine is more along the lines of Shawshank Redemption or Stand By Me.
Okay. Yeah.
The horror is a more body horror about a guy on the spectrum taking care of his sick mom and gets bit by a rat and thinks he's turning into a rat creature.
Wow. Okay. that's amazing.
But we have, like I said, we have a music video. Mm-hmm. We have a raunchy comedy about a therapist who tries to get a free vacation by pretending to have a drug addiction. There is a Polish art film.
Mm-hmm.
There is a great film by Autumn Rennie, The Feast, which is about battling eating disorder, and one of the best films I think in the festival. And I have filmmakers coming. Darn, Autumn Rennie, the director of that, Richard Berger, the director of Fang. I have people coming from Chicago, New York, L.A. for my festival. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is. That is, and it's going to be on Saturday between 12:30 and 8:30, and the tickets are $15. All right. Just to let everybody know that this sounds like a really interesting event. All short films, of course, nothing really longer than 30 minutes. And in some of them, of course, through Stephen King's Dollar Baby program, which is kind of weird, the restrictions that they put on that program, right?
Stephen King owns the rights to it, and I can't use it for commercial use.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Are there other films
That Stephen King had written that are in this film festival, or is it yours?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, this is the this is the only one.
All right.
Talking with Max Blaska of the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival, and Max, if people want to find out more information about the festival, and you've given us a pretty good overview here, but how do they do that? Do you have a website?
www.mentalhealthwarriorfilmfest.com.
All right.
Now, here's the thing, though. You want to see if this can't happen every year. Is there enough material that comes out each and every year that you could put a festival together?
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, I had to turn down several great films this year. Mm-hmm. There's one of the things that's really, really incredible is people with mental illness, fighting mental illness, they're also very, very creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that there is enough material each year to have this each year.
All right.
Well, very good, Max. And good luck with the film festival.
Yes.
Again, it's at Flicks Brew House, which is at Easttown Mall, this Saturday starting at 1 o'clock. And we hope you have a good turnout there.
Yeah, and we hope it comes back each and every year.
Me too. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank
Very
you.
Very good. All right. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of interesting films.
I want to put the stake through the heart of the protests in Milwaukee. Okay.
Are you going
to
do that?
I have a few more little things I wanted to add to that. Very important things.
It's all coming up on the John and Gordy Show for this Thursday morning.
Your
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Political candidates for some key geographic areas in Wisconsin better know agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Four critical congressional districts in Wisconsin are among the strongest in the nation for agriculture. Where are they? Details on the way.
Over time, you want to work less of it, so you need your crop protection to work more of it. When you add Tapran or Last Chance Pro adjuvants from CHS, they will. Designed for maximum efficacy, Last Chance Pro improves the uptake and translocation of herbicides, while Tapran helps activate herbicides for better performance against tough-to-control weeds. Ask your local CHS retailer how Tapran and Last Chance Pro adjuvants can put your crop protection to work.
Four of Wisconsin's congressional districts rank among the highest in the nation for total number of farmers and total number of farms. Jason Mungnaini, Executive Director of Government Relations with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, says that means this fall's elections critical that agriculture is part of the conversation.
The Ag Census already showed us that Wisconsin's a top 10 producing state. But when you break it down even further by congressional district, you really see that some of our congressmen, some of our elected officials, and some of these districts really shine. And across the board, the 3rd Congressional District really is amongst that rank. And in terms of farms and farmers nationwide, the 3rd Congressional District is ranked 17th in the country. Out of all of the districts in the House of Representatives, the third congressional district is ranked 17th.
Jason Mungnaini, Executive Director of Government Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Now, the 3rd District is currently represented by Congressman Derek Van Orden. He also sits currently on the House Agriculture Committee. The other top congressional districts in Wisconsin include the 7th, which is far northern Wisconsin, represented by Congressman Tiffany. The 2nd, which is south central Wisconsin, represented by Mark Pocan. The 6th, which is the Lakeshore, represented by Representative Grothman. And the 8th district, that's northeast Wisconsin, formerly represented by Congressman Mike Gallagher.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Never enough time to bring you all the food and farming news we'd like, so why don't you check out our website for more, MidwestFarmReport.com. And don't forget, listen to our podcast playlist. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms by late morning through early to mid-afternoon. Our high today, 73. The wind south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 53. Tomorrow, sunshine, 80. By Saturday, sunshine with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Siskel and Ebert producer John Davies and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins the show to discuss tick season. Should be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Liquid Lawyer, the product to turn to when your liquid plumber overcharges you.
It's a good product.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to finish up the story I started in regards to the protests on the college campuses in just a moment. But yeah. I'd like to, what do you have?
Well, tomorrow we've got, of course, Rocker will be in the studio.
Yes, our music.
He is previewing Max Inc. weekend.
Statewide music from Wisconsin.
That's right. But we're also going to have another special guest, the rock and roll dentist, Chris Kammer, will be here in the studio with us live.
He has teamed up quite a bit with
Art Paul Schlosser.
Art Paul Schlosser.
Yeah.
Street singer and songwriter.
And I understand, Chris, is he going to bring his guitar with him? I think he may, right?
He said he was going to sing a song. I think he's going to just sing along to a track, though. He's not bringing his guitar.
Is he coming in?
Yes.
Okay, so on the phone. Okay.
It'll be good to see him. I ran into him a couple of years ago in the Dells, but he's always a lot of fun. And he's known as the rock and roll dentist.
I ran into him recently the waiting room of his dental office.
Oh, okay.
And he charged me $250. So
just for a conversation in the waiting room?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, inflation. it'll be fun to see Chris again.
He's got a great song.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a couple of other really good songs. State Street is one of those songs.
Yeah, and he's also involved in some good causes as well. So
we'll hear about those as well. Doesn't drill anymore when he doesn't have to anyway.
Okay.
He's got a whole different system going, and he's going to tell us about that as well.
Okay.
All right, let's get to the protests on the Milwaukee campus. They agreed to a number of issues to take care of them, including divestment. But, you know, the big complaint was from the Jewish community there, Hillel Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, they complained. Mm. They felt unsafe on campus. They were offended by the protesters. I guess, you know, a First Amendment right. You shouldn't be able to, offend anybody, right?
Mm.
I mean, you know, if you protest, you can't offend anyone.
Yeah.
And apparently, that's their big issue, feeling unsafe. We don't want people to feel uncomfortable. Mm. So let's play this cut 87.
On the UW-Milwaukee lawns, pro-Palestinian protesters have called home.
We are the students.
We are the students.
Now sit symbolic marks on the grass where their tents were first erected 2 weeks ago.
This encampment was launched to urge UW-Milwaukee to end its complicity in Israel's ongoing genocide and occupation of Gaza.
Their demands heard by university administration, striking an agreement Sunday night, leading to a peaceful dismantling Monday afternoon. A welcomed sight for some students days before graduation and amid finals.
I wasn't sure, is it safe to, let's say, pass by that sidewalk? I would say at least it was peaceful.
And when the deadline to vacate struck Tuesday morning, per the agreement, UWM staff arrived to wash away and cart off was left.
The encampment was the first phase in our efforts.
We recognize that divestment is not an overnight process. However, our coalition will now turn its attention and focus to the foundation in pursuit of divestment.
Even with the physical representation of the struggle now gone, the coalition's fight is far from over. They say depending on how their negotiations go with the UWM Foundation, they could return to an encampment here outside Mitchell Hall in the future. Reporting from UW-Milwaukee, Madison Moore, WISN 12 News.
After today's meeting with protesters and the UWM Foundation, they agreed to share the protesters' concerns with the full board and added that future encampments will not be tolerated.
There is backlash tonight over the deal between UWM protesters and the school. In a statement posted on Facebook, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation called on the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents to negate the agreement, writing, quote, "The chancellor's statement provides no meaningful support to UWM's Jewish community and fails to acknowledge the fear and pain Jewish community members have endured due to the actions of protesters during the encampment and before. UW System President Jay Rothman late this afternoon posted on social media, quote, "I am disappointed by the course taken by UW-Milwaukee, and I am continuing to assess the decision-making process that led to this result."
Now, the hurt feelings thing is really bothersome to me.
The protest?
Yes.
We don't want to offend anybody.
We don't want to offend anybody.
Protests.
Right.
Why protest? are you trying to get a point of view across that could be somewhat controversial?
I guess
pointed?
It's controversial to ask for a ceasefire or stop the killing in Gaza, a possible genocide. Mm. Yeah, you know, that offends a few people, you know, trying to do that. I don't get it. I don't understand that. And if you are a little bit offended, you know, these are protests and these people do have a cause. And you should understand or try to understand their side of it. And I don't know why people feel unsafe. I mean, what are you doing that would make you unsafe? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any at all. Again, it's a First Amendment right that we all have, and that's good. But there is one big problem, and the news never covers it, in regards to this divestment idea.
Okay.
A relatively new law passed in 2018 could preempt efforts to divest. The state statute prohibits state agencies, Republicans passed this baby, the state statute prohibits state agencies or local governments, their units, like the UW, from refusing to deal with or terminating business relations with Israel or entities that conduct business in Israel. In doing so, is intended to penalize, inflict economic harm on, or limit commercial relationships with Israel. So you can't do that. The law also prevents state agencies from engaging in contracts above $100,000 with businesses that boycott Israel. In other words, you can't work with a company that makes more than $100,000 if that business does business with Israel.
So that's a law on the books.
Right.
Passed in 2018?
Yep, 2018.
And so
so it's almost like, well, even if they had an agreement to try to divest or come to an agreement with the UW, they can't because a state law in 2018 passed then prevents all of that from happening.
Where did you hear about this law? Because this is the first that I'm hearing about.
Yeah, I know. I know. No one's talking about this. Yeah. And it's a huge stumbling block. And I don't know why the news hasn't covered this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a new one. Yeah. I had not heard that as well. So, yeah, that puts a whole different spin on stuff
I know.
Now. Yeah.
So the only thing that they've actually done is support Palestinians and ask for peace and a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. Divestment seems like it's going to be off the table because of a state law. And I'm always suspicious of anything that, you know, is so incredibly protective of investments and divestments of any country. Why you would force people to invest and they can't divest is a very strange process, and this was instituted by Scott Walker and the Republican legislature.
Okay.
Go figure, right? All right.
But
now, you know, the other surreal moment is, I still can't get over it. You know, we mentioned this at Short Stack the other day that the Republicans appeared to be speaking when they went to the Trump trials. They went in person, live, and they spoke outside the trials.
All the vice presidential candidates, basically.
Yeah, exactly. All dressed the same. But and we'll get to the dressing thing from Maddow. I have a quote from her on that.
Okay.
But it's just an amazing thing. We thought, well, they're doing this attack, getting around the gag order that Trump was under.
That's the whole
for
idea.
Him. And we didn't, you know, we thought, well, they're doing this for him. In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, Speaker Johnson was there.
Yesterday, they all came out and said, yes, that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay.
Tommy Tuberville admits on Newsmax that one of the reasons he went to New York City was to overcome the gag order. Why not just, you know, come right out and say it, right?
That's exactly what he did.
Cut 88. Let's listen to Cut 88. And this is Tuberville and his big admission.
Hopefully we have more and more senators and congressmen go up every day to represent him and be able to go out and overcome this gag order. And that's one of the reasons we went, is to be able to speak our piece for President Trump.
Well, that's good. You know, if he can't speak on the sham this trial is, they can't put you under a gag order. Not yet, the way things are going.
That's a nice little scheme there. You're
just coming right out
and telling us.
Yeah.
My God. Oh, guess what? Ron Johnson had a few things to say. Cut 94.
Okay.
All right.
We take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution.
No, you don't.
And that's one of the ways we do it, by using the pulpit that we have, our platform, to call out when we see abuses. And so the Speaker and other members of Congress and other elected officials, politicians, are going up to New York because President Trump can't defend himself. He's under a gag order.
Right, he is.
So other people are going there and pointing out what a travesty this is to our rule of law, to our system of justice.
So, you know, the gag order was instituted for one really good reason, and that is to protect the judge from threats and his daughter from getting threats, life-threatening threats.
Yes, that's what was happening.
That's why there's a gag order. So these Republicans, they went there to speak for him to go around the gag order so that those threats continue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem I have with this.
Well, Trump asked them to do it. Right?
That Midas touches Ron Flipkowski. He wrote, "We have been reporting for days now that Trump is providing daily talking points to surrogates who show up at the trial to violate the gag order for him." And the order specifically prohibits him from doing this. Public notice reporter Aaron Ruper followed up with this comment, "Wow. Andrew Rice says that on MSNBC that yesterday during the trial, he personally witnessed Trump editing and making notations to quotes his Republican allies made to the press.
Wow.
I mentioned yesterday that all MAGA elected officials speaking for Trump and threatening the judge and his daughter wore the same clothes." All right. Let's get to
Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow's cut. Do we have that queued up at all?
He's got it.
89?
Yes.
Let's go.
All right.
You wearing the red tie? Yeah, Vivek, I'm wearing the red tie. You got the note about the judge's daughter? I got it, Doug. Byron, you got it? I mean, it is not. They're not even trying to hide what they're doing.
In court yesterday, actually, I was sitting close enough that I could actually look over Trump's shoulder and see what he was reading. At one point, he was actually reading the quotes that these individuals were and going through and making notations with a pen on the paper.
Before or after?
While testimony was going on, while Michael Cohen was testifying against him, he was actually going and going through and annotating and editing the quotes of these.
Yeah, that's organizing and giving him what those talking points that they need to address. And that wasn't Maddow, but 93, cut 93 is Maddow. And what she said, I just think it's kind of fun to listen to her explain it.
Okay.
One thing that has changed in the Republican Party is that their being in the tank for Donald Trump over the last 5 years has changed and become so much more tanked that they all now dress like him too.
Yes.
They were all wearing the exact same outfit. It was like they were Rockettes.
Yes.
It's a little bit, I don't know if they do a, you know, but just to see them all lined up there, I mean, because Mike Johnson is the speaker, he gets a stripe, but all the rest of them, it's the exact same thing. And they're dressed up like him to praise him. They all use the same language. They all describe him as their friend. I mean, I don't know if Donald Trump has friends. I don't think that Vivek Ramaswamy is one of them, if he does have friends. And this is a display of sycophancy and a job, job interview, as you say, Chris. But it's also a serious thing, because what they're doing is they're showing up and attacking the judicial system. And I mean, there's more to say about that. But the initial, just seeing them all show up together, dressed like a squad, to call him their dear friend when he doesn't know what any of their last names are, I just found it's sad. It's an interesting snapshot of the Republican Party.
It is. And you should call it a squad. And also, by the way, AP said this: "It was a remarkable moment for modern American politics. The House Speaker amplifying Trump's defense and turning the Republican Party against the federal and state legal systems that are foundational to the U.S. government and a cornerstone of democracy."
Wow. Okay.
Nice. AP, thank you. Finally reporting the way you should report.
Mm-hmm. It is 7:48 coming up. We've got some tidbits. We've got this and that. Oh, you got it. Leftovers next.
Mad
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hi, Gordy Kopke here. When I first invited folks to my farm 40 years ago, I could never have dreamed that would become the area's largest greenhouse. With a focus on quality plants at reasonable prices and a special emphasis on customer service, we have received the People's Choice Award as Madison area's best greenhouse. Located 2 miles east of Oregon in the beautiful town of Dunn, I invite you out to see why we are not only the area's largest greenhouse, but also the best.
Spring is the best time to sell your home. The Madison market is hot right now, so get ahead of the spring rush and list your home today with the Aaron Weber Group. Move to Madison.com is your resource with listings updated every 15 minutes, easy and convenient virtual or in person showings and meetings. Aaron Weber Group makes your selling experience perfect. Move to Madison.com. Rapid response, going above the ordinary, and getting you what you want. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. Move to Madison.com. Spring is in the air.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
The day we eat all the leftovers!
I'll just have one.
Yeah. Leftovers. Mm. Enjoy.
Mm. Oh, we will.
Yeah. I love those.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX, a leftover story from earlier this morning. We were watching the workers out on State Street trying to figure out what they were doing to the sidewalk, ripping right. it all up and
exactly.
everything. They are indeed planting trees.
Yes.
So,
that's good.
It closes
that's
the great. Loop on that story.
I feel
story.
Much better.
Yeah. Now they're just standing around admiring their work. I think we got enough dirt on there. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Buy okay. those men a coffee.
All right. Okay.
Well, let's take care of one issue. They're moving the DMV on the west side to a different location on South Park Street.
Yep. Really?
The Village on Park. If you're familiar with the area, there's a McDonald's there. Badger Road is there.
Right.
The interchange for Highway 14 is there.
Yep.
It's right next to that. So it's right there. It's very easy to get to now. Yeah. It's on the bus line, by the way. And that's always a good thing.
So they're moving it.
The problem that it used to be on Sheboygan Avenue.
Okay.
And it was an excellent location, bus line, easy to get to. Everybody could get their driver's license there and their voting license there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just fine. But then they move it to the west side. Scott Walker planned this baby out because they move it to the west side, past Middleton, into a industrial park where there wasn't bus service. So if people are poor and they can't drive out there or they're disabled, they have to find a way to get there because the buses did not go by the DMV. This is a plot to keep people from getting a voter ID.
Make it more difficult.
That was the idea, right? Okay. So, well, now they've changed that. Now they're moving it to South Park. Easy to get to. South Park Street, easy to get to.
Okay.
And that's the great thing about that.
Approximately where on South Park Street? Where, like right off the... right off the Beltline?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's it's right off the Beltline on Park Street, Badger Road.
Okay.
And everybody knows the McDonald's there, and it's right across the street from there's a business park there.
Sure.
A small one.
Okay.
With the library and other facilities.
When are they doing this?
As well.
Immediately?
Soon. That's going to happen on June 17th. It will open. Okay. They're going to close the one on the west side on June 13th and then open the new one. On June 17th.
Good to know.
Yeah,
so I got to change my driver's license when I'm, moving here to Madison in the next week or so. Should be done.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And now we can move on to the other story that we haven't been able to get to. It is a Dropbox debate at the Supreme Court. It took place, and it looks like the justices, the liberal justices, are at least for this.
Mm-hmm.
But the right-wing justices, they still have the old arguments. They have the very, very strange arguments. And we actually have a cut here of Justice Rebecca Bradley, the worst justice we have on the court right now.
Says you.
She bashed Democrats. Yeah. She bashed gay people. She bashed everybody when she was in college and editorials that she had. Okay. And then she said, well, you know, none of that will affect my judgments on the court. My ass. When we were giving, you know, edicts about staying home and wearing a mask, she called it tyranny, which isn't a legal term that I'm familiar with at this point. Let's play Rebecca Bradley's argument against drop boxes. Let's listen to this.
You're asking this court to give municipal clerks absolutely free rein to disregard the carefully regulated regime established by the people's representatives in the legislature, and they can do whatever they want as long as it's workable?
Do whatever they want?
That is not what we're asking. What we're asking the court to do is to apply the statute as written, and the statute as written does not restrict how municipal clerks may accept delivery of voted and sealed absentee ballots.
Lawyers for state and national Republican Party leaders say changing the ruling now would unleash a new wave of legal challenges.
Republican leaders say they will not go into special session if the justices decide to allow the ballot drop boxes.
The challenge with the Supreme Court is they're ignoring past precedent. They're just throwing it out the window. When there's a previous Supreme Court decision, they're just going to simply override it, which is something courts have historically done.
They do it.
But, you know, the decision's still being made, and, you know, we're done with session.
I know that this court had overturned a recent decision under the Republican Supreme Court.
Okay.
So I think that's a lie. And past precedent, by the way, is what the Supreme Courts all across the land and the federal government is doing right now to justify what they want as a predetermined result. They're looking at past history. And the past history in this state was in 2020 when the Republicans did endorse drop boxes. They thought it was a great idea at the time. And now, suddenly, they don't think so because Donald Trump asked them to be against them. Mm-hmm. All right? So hearing Rebecca Bradley, she didn't sound anything like a justice. She sounded like a partisan legislator basically saying, oh, well, you're giving them the ability to do anything they want, the Election Commission?
No.
Not anything they want. Can't open a store. It just drives me crazy that this person is on the court. She's going to be up for re-election, I believe, in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
She has got to go, and I hope everybody is, on board with that. She is just the worst.
When will they come up with a decision on this? Is there
soon?
Okay, any day now.
Yeah. Well, any time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep you posted.
It's not like it's going to be next week or anything, but they do want to get it done by November, which is right at the last
minute. Yeah, we need to know, a little before then.
You know, some of the pictures they've had on Twitter X.
Yeah.
They have like a mailbox.
Yeah.
A picture of a mailbox.
Right.
And a drop box.
Right.
And they look alike.
They pretty much are the same.
And mailboxes that are dependent on, being safe.
Sure.
And delivering the mail.
Yeah, that's
what
they do.
We put our taxes in. We put our bill paying in. Yeah. They seem to work.
They do seem to work.
And the drop boxes, same thing.
Right. No
problem. Down, no problem.
Yeah.
And yet, and they're unsafe and you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know.
Okay. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt drop boxes.
Yes. They really are trying to create a lot of confidence in the electoral system that we have in this country, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
My God.
I don't know. Sam, you have a comment on that?
We have an unrelated comment on Facebook about our discussion earlier of Quick Trip and Woodman's and Menards. No offense, John, but Woodman's is sort of dirty. And as someone who likes to cook vegetables last about 2 days when you get them home. They don't like Menards either because they're anti-union. So they can't always look the other way about things.
Well, no, you really can't. And everybody has the freedom to boycott any kind of business they want. But at the same time, maybe that person doesn't do a whole hell of a lot of yard work. And on top of that, maybe they don't cook. Or maybe they save their vegetables a little bit too long or don't store them correctly. Okay?
Hey, settle down, will you? Save it. That's it for us. Tomorrow, Rocker and also the Rock and Roll Dentist, Chris Cammer. Have a great day. So long.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition of Thursday Tangents with Lukester. It's Luke Mathers right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
I don't want to.
But did you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket. It.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.